Morning.
Morning.
Whenever I'm going to talk about the scripture, I always ask God to help me zoom in on what He wants me to share with all of you. And so I pray and I ask for guidance from the Holy Spirit. And I began to read the gospel reading for this morning. And what really struck me was when the sower of the seed, who we know, of course, from the context of the gospel, is Jesus Christ sowing His word, His words of life and truth. The sower of the seed tells his servants, don't pull up the weeds. Let the wheat and the weeds, even though the weeds were planted by the enemy, right? Let them grow up together. And at the end of the age, the reapers will come and gather up the weeds first and throw them into the fire, and then the wheat and into the barn. What really struck me was two things. First of all, if we are followers of Christ, then we are to be that good seed, right, that grows into wheat and bears good fruit. But if we are the wheat and we are servants of Christ, it's not our job to pull up the weeds. In an earlier passage, I think we heard it last week, we hear that Jesus talks about the farmer that sows the seed on all kinds of different soil, right? You have the good soil and the hard path and the rocky soil and the thorny soil. And it's only the seed that grows on the good soil that bears fruit. And now in this next passage, which follows very quickly after that one, we see that not only is it necessary for us to receive God's word as that good soil so that we can bear fruit, but we also need to be aware that all around us are those who are not good soil, but rather have received the seed of the enemy and are actually the product, if you will, of that which is evil. So we are called to be that good seed that grows into the good wheat, but all around us there are also weeds. And the weeds, of course, represent those who are embracing evil. They're not embracing Christ. They're not embracing the ways of truth, the gospel. And as we know, throughout the history of the church and all the centuries, there's been a lot of these evil people that not only reject the gospel, but try to destroy those who embrace the gospel. Just like a weed will try to choke out the good things that you plant in your garden or in a field, so it is in the world. You're trying to follow Christ. You're trying to be that good stock of wheat bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. But there are those that oppose you, those that attack you, those that persecute you. In the most extreme circumstances, they will try to imprison you and kill you. That doesn't happen much in the United States. Thank God. We're blessed. But in other parts of the world, that's going on today. For the sole reason of being a follower of Christ, people are being thrown in jail, they're being tortured, they're having their property taken away, even sometimes killed. So this is what struck me. The sower, which is Jesus, he tells his followers, the servants, the slaves, don't pull up the weeds. Let them grow up together. Because, he says, if you pull up the weeds, then you will damage the wheat also. One of the ways to understand what God is trying to tell us through Scripture is to look at other passages, especially ones that come just before, just after the one we're looking at. So I want to share with you Matthew 12, 18 through 21, which is just a chapter before what we heard this morning. This is God speaking prophetically about Jesus. He says, He is my beloved who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious, and his name will be the hope of all the world. This is what strikes me. We are not to try to eradicate evil from the world. We are not to pull up those weeds. That is the job of the angels, who are the reapers, as Jesus explains in the reading, at the end of the age, the end of the world. We are to let them grow. Notice here what God the Father says about Jesus. He says he does not fight, he does not shout, he does not raise his voice. He does not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. So when Jesus comes, he comes with the message of life and of hope, of forgiveness from all our sins, and finally, our final destination, eternal life with God in heaven. But notice that he never attacks and tries to destroy those that reject his message. He lets the weeds and the wheat grow together. And because that's how he does it, he's telling us that's how we need to do it as well. In Matthew 5, which is part of the famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven." So, when we're confronted by the weeds around us that reject the gospel and may even seek to mistreat us because we try to follow Jesus, notice what Jesus is saying. We are to love them. We are to love our enemies. We are to pray for those who persecute us. And that's how we behave as true children of God the Father. When God started telling me he wanted me to preach on this, I got a little nervous because I was thinking, this doesn't sound like how we tend to think, you know? You know, if somebody does something against you, our natural response is, you know, to get back at them, right? Take vengeance. And if there's an evil or dangerous person around, we want to get rid of that person, right? And yet, God is telling us to love these people and to pray for them, even when they mistreat you, even when they attack you. It's very hard for our sinful nature to accept that teaching and really live it out. I'm as guilty as anybody of not always living out what God is telling us here. We got to have the Holy Spirit's help. We can't follow the way of Christ on our own with our own power. We've got to have the power of God living in us. And that's part two of being that good soil that bears fruit, is we open ourselves to God. We open ourselves to the Holy Spirit to prepare that soil so that we can bear fruit for the kingdom of God and not act the way everybody else does. You know, if you do something bad against me, I'm going to do something bad against you. That's the way of the world. But we're being called here to never return evil for evil, but rather respond to evil with good, with love, with prayer, with blessing those who curse us. In Romans chapter 12, Paul writes, "Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Interesting that he says burning coals of shame. And in the parable, you notice at the end of the age, those who have embraced evil are picked up from the ground and thrown into flames. So we have burning coals and flames in both of these passages, referring to those that embrace evil instead of good. Of course, as long as someone is still alive, he or she does not have to continue to embrace evil. The reason, one of the reasons anyway, that God tells us don't repay evil with evil, that you should always respond with love, and you should pray for the people that mistreat you, is because by your example, you may actually convince that weed to become wheat. Right? As long as there's life, there's hope. So my grandfather used to say. And he lived to be 92, so he had life for a long time. As long as there's life, there's hope that these people won't continue to embrace evil and will not continue to reject Christ. And the only way that we are going to perhaps be instrumental in convincing them to join us in the church, join us as the body of Christ, join us as followers of Christ, is by setting the same example to them that Christ set for us. He never crushed the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. So the next time somebody cuts you off when you're driving down the highway, what do you do? You pray for them, that's right. Pray for them. Bless them. Even while you're feeling mad. Even when you want to do the opposite. With practice, we get better at it. And with prayer, asking God to help us to do the right thing in every situation, He will answer those prayers and empower us. And we'll keep messing up, right? We'll keep giving tit for tat. We'll keep falling into our sinful habits. But God is a God of mercy. God is a God of forgiveness. God is a God of second and third and fourth and 200th chances, right? 70 times 7. We are to forgive just as God forgives us. So there's always hope, even if we don't live up to what Christ is telling us to do here. As long as we keep running back to God. That's why Jesus says God is our daddy. God is our Abba. We run to Daddy and we say, Daddy, help. I can't do this on my own. Protect me. Strengthen me. Give me what I need to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. So, if we want to spread the good news, if we want some of those weeds around us to change their minds, to have a change of heart, to open their hearts and their minds to Christ and become good wheat, we need to pray for that, to pray that we can be a consistently good example, one who loves and does not hate, one who prays and blesses those, even those that mistreat us. It's not our job to eradicate evil. There's another passage in the New Testament where Paul talks about it's the government's job, God-given job, to protect the weak and to punish evil. So God does have a system in place, and even governments that aren't all that holy, aren't all that good, they still manage, at least most of the time, to protect the weak and to punish evil deeds, right? That's the God-given role of government is not the God-given role for each of us. You see the difference. Our job is to love, to pray for, to bless, to aid, to be Christ to the world. And because this is very hard, I'd like us to take a moment right now to pray to God together. Let's pray to God. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit upon all of us so that we may be empowered to follow your teaching revealed to us in your word today, to bless and not curse, to never repay evil with evil, but always to repay evil with good, to help those in need, even if they're mistreating us, to be a consistent witness to your love, your mercy, and your forgiveness. We can't do it on our own. So we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit every day. Remind us to keep asking for this gift, for this strength, to follow you in your way. And we pray, dear Lord Jesus, that you might help us bear fruit by convincing a few of those weeds out there to become wheat instead and join us in your heavenly kingdom. Amen. Amen.